Hey, this is Elizabeth.
This is Keisha.
Hi, this is Leslie Sullivan, and welcome to the Mustard Seed Podcast.
All right, so we are back, and we are continuing on looking at James. So we are glad that you're with us, and welcome back to the table. Last time we talked about a little bit of the history behind James, and then we went through 1 and 2. Now we're going to go through 3, 4, and 5. And we'll just keep dropping. We're letting James keep dropping the knowledge for us, and we just kind of revel in it.
You know? Nothing but truth bombs from our buddy James.
Okay, so James 3. Not many of you should become teachers, my brothers, for you know that we who teach will be judged with greater strictness. For we all stumble in many ways, and if anyone does not stumble in what he says, he is a perfect man, able to also to bridle his whole body. If we put bits into the mouth of a horse so they obey us, we guide their whole bodies as well. Look at the ships also, though they are so large and are driven by strong winds, they are guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs it. So also the tongue is a small member, yet it boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by such a small fire! And the tongue is a fire, a word of unrighteousness. The tongue is set among our members, straining the whole body, setting on fire the entire course of life, and set on fire by hell. For every kind of beast and bird, of reptile and sea creature, can be tamed, and has been tamed by mankind. But no human being can tame the tongue. It is a restless evil, full of deadly poison. With it we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people, who are made in all likeness of God. From the same mouth come blessing and cursing. My brothers, these things ought not to be so. Does the spring pour forth from the same opening both fresh and salt water? Can a fig tree, my brothers, bear olives, or a grapevine produce figs? Neither can a salt pond yield fresh water. Whoever is wise and understanding among you, by his good conduct let him show his works in the meekness of wisdom. But if you have bitter jealousy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not boast and be false to the truth. This is not the wisdom that comes down from above, but it is earthly and spiritual, demonic. For where jealousy and selfish ambition exist, there will be disorder and every vile practice. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, open to reason, full of mercy and good fruits, impartial and sincere. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace.
So let's just talk about the fact that I think it's the hardest thing to do is to control your tongue.
Yes.
You know, it words. I mean, I know that, you know, you think back and this one, so those cringe moments that wake you up at 3 a.m. and you can think about everything that you've ever done wrong in your life at 3 a.m. and you can't go back to sleep, you know, but it's. A lot of it boils down to, I should have said this, or I should not have said this, and I shouldn't have acted like that. I should have acted like this, you know, and it's, I always, you know, you go back to high school, crap, I should not have treated this person like this. I should not have said this. And if I could reach out to them, I would, or would that look stupid if I tried to find them on Facebook and say, hey, guess what? Sorry. I was a total jerk, you know?
Yeah.
You know, yeah. Or else, are they all like, we were all 16. We were all...
Morons. We're all jerks.
Yeah, we were all jerks in our own way. It just depended.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
And it seems what easily comes out of our mouth is complaint, you know, the harshness, the negative. Mm-hmm. What doesn't come out is the praise, the encouragement. Mm-hmm. And yeah, I was telling my sister one day, I was like, you know, when you look at each day, we need to look at, well, what was good? What worked out well? What can we praise God for?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, when I used to teach confirmation at our church, I would do pows and wahs with the kids. Because I'm like, there's junk in your day, so that's your pow, that's your punch or your hit upside your head or whatever. But there's also, we gotta find a wow. And kids would sometimes really struggle, even adults, some of the parents would struggle to find the wow.
Yeah.
And I'm like, there's something. Mm-hmm. There's something. I'll sit here and wait. I want you to think and pray about it. There's something that was good, even in the worst of days. You know, there's something good. Like when our car broke down on Friday, I went out to start it because I had to run errands and get stuff and, you know, do all my day off things on Friday so I could function and get groceries and all that crazy stuff. And when I went out and the car wouldn't start, I was really pissed at first. I was like, what? No, I've got things to do. I have a plan. This is my schedule. This is what I'm doing. You're messing my day up. And then after I calmed down for a few minutes and realized that there's just nothing I can do to get it started, I'm going to wait until my husband gets home from work because there's not, I mean, I said, okay, Lord, what do you want me to do at home today? And I had just changed my focus. Yeah. So I turned a pow into the wow. And I think it's even over ourselves that our tongues, and I think you reference this. Mm-hmm. I'm sometimes my worst enemy too with my self-deprecation and my self-talking and things like that. And so I think this true wisdom comes from God. God didn't cause my car battery to die and my car not to work. But he gave me the opportunity to see it as an opportunity to have a day where I could get a few things done at home and I could also rest in him for a little while.
Yeah.
And take those moments. And so that wisdom that he gives us in those moments is the wow for your day. And we don't always see that because we're expecting the wow to be, and like, we got to do this fun thing. And sometimes the wow is just that it could have cost a lot more money to fix the car, or it could have been a bigger issue, or it could have been your kid's grades are this, or your, you know, I mean, there's always could-haves.
Yeah.
What do you get to do with the problem that maybe, and like turning the junk into an opportunity? That, for me, that's the pure wisdom that comes from God.
Yeah.
When you're content in him, you find ways to be content even in the junk that can happen.
That was very, very well put.
Yeah, absolutely.
And I think it comes down to self-control too. Like you said, you got to change your mindset.
Yeah, I could have let it ruin my whole day, my whole weekend, and said, and because there were still some moments where later I was like, frustrated by it.
Yeah.
But did I let it control me and control the way I then worked throughout my entire weekend until I got my car back today? No. Did I have moments? Yes. Mm-hmm. But God's wisdom and his heart and his love and his grace and mercy and all the other words I can think of helped me to get through that, helped Brian to get through that, helped us to get through that, you know? Mm-hmm. And he's just constantly working in our lives. And if the hard part is, it's kind of like when we're always asking for that sign from God, sometimes it's the most obvious thing right in front of you, but it's not the sign that's flashing neon.
Yep.
It's the little thing that you get in your, like a little sticker you found on your Bible, or that little note, that little cross-reference at the bottom of your Bible that helps you understand that verse better. It can be the finest print, or it can be the biggest of signs. And are we looking for that? Are we open to looking for that? That's the hard part some days.
A hundred percent. I had a meeting at 10:30 that ended up getting moved, but I didn't know it got moved. But I had a meeting set, and Mylan had his appointment for, you know, his pediatrician, and we're leaving his pediatrician that is a half an hour at best away. And it's like, it was like 9:20 we're leaving. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, I had already promised him donuts, right? Because I don't think he ate breakfast before we left the house. You know, we dropped Jax off at school. We hightailed it to get to his pediatrician appointment, you know, and I'm trying to get ready in the morning for my days. Normally, like when we leave for school, I don't have to get as ready. I can come back home and get ready for my day. But that's not the case when it's a pediatrician appointment at 8:30 in the morning. You know, and so we went through the Dunkin' line, and I'm like, of course, we are like at least three cars deep. Everybody seems to either be ordering everything on this menu, or so, like, they're just must be really busy inside. So I'm trying to remain calm, going, okay, I have to be home by 10:30. There is no way I'm going to make it. You know, so I'm leaving like Kingsport at like 9:30, 9:40. I get to Mylan's school. I didn't hit a single red light the whole way home, which going from Kingsport, that is a miracle. That is a miracle. When I did get stopped, I only got stopped for a couple seconds. And I was able to just to cruise. I got him to school by 10. I got home by 10:15. Again, to find out that my meeting was canceled. But, you know, and I had already said it. I had already told God. I said, I know this is you. I know this is you, because I can tell you right now, I have never had that experience in my 4.5 years living here that I didn't hit a single light. Not a single one. For like, I usually hit it right as it turns red. So I'm sitting there for 5 minutes. I'm like, a trip that usually takes me 30 to 40 minutes took me only 20 because I didn't hit a single light. And then we get in the car, and I had on just my, what I call my happy dance playlist, which is a little bit of everything.
Yeah.
You know, I can, but when I got back in the car, my Spotify switched to my worship playlist, and Lord, I Need You came on, and I was like, okay.
Perfect. Okay.
Such a show
on. I know. I was like, that's not what I was listening to. I was listening to, you know, a little bit of 90s rap. And I was like, but I guess, Lord, you want me to hear this song? I'll sing it. I'll sing it for you, Lord. You know, it's probably
good. I need your 90s rap.
Yeah. So I did. I listened to the song, and I sang it all the way home. Now, I did have a question that I still haven't had the answer to. I was like, okay, Lord, you did all that for me. Was it just to show me that you can? You show me that. And he has shown me little things by just things that Stephen, I said, you know, I'm going to work on this because I know this is me. And I'm like, Lord, I told you that I was having a problem with Steve doing something like that. And now he's telling me he's going to work on it. And I was like, all right, God, like, you're showing up. I appreciate it. Yeah, I know. But I asked God the other day, I was like, okay, so you did all this for me, but then my meeting was canceled. So why did you do that? You know, when I didn't have to get home by a certain point, you know, sometimes I feel like, sometimes I learn better in the aftermath of, like, if he stopped me at every single light and then I come home and the meeting was canceled anyway, then I'm like, okay, fine, God. You know, I see it didn't matter anyway, so I should have changed my behavior. But.
Yeah. He shows us in all those things, whether it's the extreme part of it,
mm-hmm.
or that you had then had however long your next meeting was or whatever your next task had to be.
Yep.
He gave you that time to ease into it and you know, and go, okay, I didn't have to freak out so much. Okay, whatever. Okay, God, I love you.
Right, yeah. It is. It's this, you know, and I read a book by Elizabeth George. It's that, it's like a woman after God's own heart. And that one's a great book. She has a mother and but the woman covers every aspect of life. That if you want to just boil it down, you know, you can get just the mother or the wife, but because I've read all three and I'm like, she just basically kind of took some of those chapters and then expanded it. So I'm like, just get the woman book. It makes more sense. But she has said that, you know, with your kids or whatever, just you wake up in the morning and you have your kids with you and you see a beautiful sunrise. Look what the Lord did today. Let's see that sunrise. He did that. Like, even if that's your only, as you put it, your only wow moment.
Yeah.
Then at least you still focused on he did that. That is his painting.
And then you're teaching your kids.
Yeah. And that was her whole point, was you're mm-hmm. teaching your children to do it as well.
Yeah.
You know, to say, oh, look what God did. You know, look at the moon that God gave us that, and you know, you can see the stars, you know, it's just pointing out the little things so that way then they're always seeking it.
Yep.
So when they talk in this, in the first beginning too, about how, give me a second, I'll find the verse. Well, no. Shouldn't take me that hard. It's number one.
I was thinking that's where you were going.
Yeah. Keisha's like, we talked about this. I'm just waiting for her to get there at some point. She's going to get there. I'm just going to let her do it. But it is verse one. Yeah. Not many should become teachers, my brothers, because you know they will receive a stricter judgment. Let me tell you what. It's like you read that. Always, you know, and it's like, should we be sitting here doing this, y'all? Are we, you know, what are we doing? Yep. And I watched So when we first did James with our women's ministry, we did the study, and I cannot tell you who wrote it, though I did love it, but it was called Steadfast. And it was on the whole book of James, and it was an amazing, I thought she did a great job. The study was amazing. But it was also, it's not Lifeway, but it's like a bigger, it's like the Gospel Collation or something like that, where they had a women's ministry meeting, like they had a women's retreat. And so they had women coming up and talking about each chapter of James. And Jackie Hill Perry did this one where it was controlling the tongue, and she did a phenomenal job. I love listening to her. She's, you can tell that she's very poetic. She writes, I mean, she writes her poems, and she does, she performs them. And so that shows when she's, when I read her book, I listened to it. So she's telling you about it, and you can just tell in the way that she speaks, the way she flows, that that's just, she's, that's how she is. But she pointed out to me, and this actually helped me a little bit, at least have a little bit more peace in doing the podcast and in doing the women's ministry, because I don't ever want to be the teacher. This needs to be more of a conversation. And, you know, that's why I love us doing this, because this is us sitting around a table with everybody, whoever wants to listen can listen, you know, but this is us teaching each other, you know. But she said that he had to say that because of the way that the Jewish leaders lived, because they were esteemed, they were high, they were paid very well, and, you know, they were almost above a lot of the laws. So she had to, like, so James had to, like, say, listen, you got to understand that you can't go into being a teacher for the wrong reasons.
Yep.
If you're going into it for fame, for prosperity, for your own glory, you're going to get judged harshly for that, because that's not the purpose.
Yep.
And I'm like, well, that is clearly not my purpose. So check. So maybe I'll be okay, and then I'll get judged for other things, but this isn't one of them.
Well, I think that's a good point, because, you know, you do look back at the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and the, you know, they were the, what people did look up to, and, you know, they had a lot of legalism and a lot of this way, you know?
Yeah.
So. Yeah. So he's saying, don't be like that.
The Bible study you were talking about?
Mm-hmm.
Courtney Doctor.
Thank you. Thank you.
I had to look it up, because I think that's the one I did many years ago, too. So it's a good one.
It's a really good one. I really like the way that she breaks it down. And every time, like, with women's ministry, I always grab somebody's study, because I like to, it helps me dive in, and it helps bring out some of the history nuggets without me having to go through multiple different people's sermons. And so it's kind of like you get this focused version, you know, on a Bible, and it helps me. Like, I will always read the book and then do the study. You know, I try to make sure I'm seeing it through my own eyes, trying to discern what the Lord is teaching me through it without somebody else telling me. But I also sometimes need somebody to point out, like, hey, did you see that it says this? This is why.
Yeah.
You know, because then it makes more sense. And I'm like, well, shoot, that's amazing. You know?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Yep. I agree.
I don't know. The imagery just of the tongue, though, really just brings it. You can tell how big of a deal it is with how much focus he puts on it. You know? Just.
Yeah.
Words can heal, and words can harm.
Yeah.
I mean, I know that there's that phrase, you know, sticks and stones may break my bones, but words can never hurt me. And I'm like, or is it the opposite way? I don't remember. Anyway,
that's what it says. Yeah, no, you're right.
Yeah. Words are powerful on all sides. And when we don't recognize that our words and our, and even followed by actions, obviously, have power. But words can, I mean, like, ever since texting became obviously more of a thing, because growing up, obviously, we didn't have that.
Right.
We now had beepers. You read a text from someone and you go, yeah. You read a text and you go, wait, that's really, like, are they mad? Are they, like, and you can't interpret, because it's, the words are up to your interpretation of where you're at. Mm-hmm. Like, I got a text from somebody the other day, and I was like, you big jerk. That's not cool.
Yep.
And then I talked to the person and they're like, oh, that's not how I meant it. And I was like, okay, that was my interpretation. And they're like, oh, gosh. And they're like, he goes, I know I should have called you. And I said, it's okay. We're okay, but it's one of those, it's always a reminder to me, especially with text and obviously social media and stuff like that, just how powerful the words are that we use on a daily basis. And in a moment, you can shatter someone's world. You can also give them all the peace and joy that they can handle in a couple of words. Like, we have a young man from church who's going off to the Coast Guard Academy, or no, Coast Guard? No, Air Force, sorry, Air Force Academy. And so he's got to go do basic. That way he can start school coming up, whenever that is, and stuff like that. And so, like, his parents are saying goodbye to him tonight. And so she put a post out on Facebook saying, hey, can you give us some words of encouragement? We're going to print this off and send it with him, because he won't have his phone and social media till May. And I was like, yeah. Oh, yeah. So, like, I'm, like, sitting here right as we start. And I'm like, okay, really quick, I'm going to just be distracted for a second, because I don't want to miss the opportunity to give that kid one more set of words that would help. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Even though I talked to him yesterday at church, it's taking those opportunity to use those words for the good and for the kingdom and for what God intends words to be. It's hard though. It's hard. Words are crazy.
Yeah, it is.
All right. Anything else in three?
I don't think so. We can go ahead and go to four.
All right. Four. I like four because it's at least the way the NLT I have is broken up into like three things. It's drawing close to God, and then warning against judging others, and warning about self-confidence. So this is my chapter. Okay, here we go. Chapter four. Drawing close to God. What is causing the quarrels and fights among you? Don't they come from the evil desires at war within you? You want what you don't have, so you scheme and kill to get it. You are jealous of what others have, but you can't get it, so you fight and wage war to take it away from them. Yet you don't have what you want because you don't ask God for it. And even when you ask, you don't get it because your motives are all wrong. You want only what will give you pleasure. You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again. If you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say. God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Come close to God and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts. For your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor? Look here, you who say today or tomorrow we are going to a certain town and we'll stay there a year. We will do our business there and make profit. How do you know what your life will be like tomorrow? Your life is like the morning fog. It's here a little while, then it's gone. What you ought to say is, if the Lord wants us to, we will live and do this or that. Otherwise, you are boasting about your own pretentious plans, and all such boasting is evil. Remember, it is sin to know what you ought to do and then not do it. Seriously.
Yep.
James! Anyway. Oh. There's so much to unpack in this one, but that first section is that humbleness. Mm-hmm. Humble thyself in the sight of the Lord. Kind of, that just call to be His servant, to be humble before Him, and you'll be humble before others.
Yeah, Yeah, and I like where it's, you know, it says you got to have the right heart. You got to, you know, yeah. come to him with pure intentions. Because, you know, it's, especially in today's society, it's so easy to like, well, God, I want you to do this and 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 this for me. Okay? And if you don't, then we can't talk.
Yep. Yeah.
And that's just, that's not what it's about.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's always having to come with that mindset that's the hardest to say, this is my desire, Lord, but if it is not your desire, I'm cool. Like, I'm good. Like, I'm really good, Lord.
Yeah.
You know, it's hard because it's, you know, when you're going for a new job, you're trying to figure out new placement, you're trying to figure out everything, like, okay, this is how I think everything should move forward, Lord. But I need to also be okay if it's not what you want or what you can see, because, yeah. you know, he sees the big picture and I only see what's in front of me.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Though I would be totally willing if he'd like to show me the big picture, I'd be all set. Bring it. I would be totally fine with that. But
yeah,
until that day, Lord.
Well, I think that's that humbleness thing. I mean, I really do. I think it's like God wants us to make plans. He doesn't tell. I mean, yes, it says here, you know, don't make plans per se. But it's making plans that you're refusing to go away from. That it's resisting him, you know mm-hmm. what I mean?
Yeah.
And I think it's when we're humble enough to say, okay, Lord, yeah, I have, this is the desire of my heart. This is the desire of what I think you're putting before me. I'm going to try it, but you're going to show me if it's not meant to be, and you're going to close that door. You're going to, you know, change that thing. You're going to move that mountain, or you're going to put another mountain in front of it, or, yep. you know, whatever that is. But I just think it's neat when I meet others who go, okay, this is what I think the plan should be. But I'm also going to say, okay, Lord, I'm going forward, but you're going to show me if the door is supposed to be closed or if it stays wide open or if it, you know, somewhere in between or yeah. if it's a swinging door, you know?
Yeah.
But am I listening to you and praying and listening with pure intention of my heart and not just my selfish desires? Cause we all have selfish desires.
Oh yeah.
Right. Yeah.
But I appreciate when you said it's the heart. It's mm-hmm. the heart issue too.
Yeah. Yeah, definitely. It's like, Lord, if it's not your will, please don't let it happen then.
Yeah.
Because I don't trust myself yeah. to know if I should or shouldn't do something.
Yeah.
Because yeah. of, like you said, our own selfish desires. But then I guess it kind of comes down to self-control too. It's trying to get your mindset on what his mindset is, mm-hmm. What to be okay with what his will is instead of what we think we should desire.
It's a power of discernment that comes only from continuing to go to God.
Yeah.
And that's even with our selfish desires. I mean, there's times I said to God the other day with the car, okay, could you just have it be free? Yeah. We might not be yep. under warranty, but could you find a way to make it free, God? I'm going to bring that to you. Now, it wasn't free, but again, it's also because I say in the same breath, but Lord, I know you're taking care of us. You're going to provide even if it's expensive.
Yeah.
Like,
yep.
It may not look the way I want it to look, which is free and it doesn't cost me, you know, like, and easy, and I get my car back in 5 minutes. And, you know, yep. like, of course I want all those selfish things because I want to keep doing the things I want to do because I think mm-hmm. it does lead me to the path you've put me on. But I also go in with the knowledge, Lord, that sometimes you're also putting those doors closed in front of me for a reason, and you open them when they're right. You mm-hmm. open it when it's the right time and when it's the right moment. And I think it's constantly going to him with it. That's what he desires, is that relationship with us.
Yeah.
He just wants us to come to him with all we have. All we have.
And you talked about the discernment to find out, all right, Lord, is this you shutting the door or is this Satan getting in the way of what you want me to do? Like, is Satan trying to, mm-hmm. you know, detour me and discourage me because I'm supposed to do this, you know, and it's mm-hmm. trying to figure that out. Because sometimes I have to step back and say, okay, Lord, these technical issues. Lord, my my inability right now to focus in church, you know, or my inability to, like, I don't feel like doing women's ministry today. And then you find out 13 other people aren't going to be there either. And it's raining and everybody's like, okay, Lord, is this saying if we should all stay home because something's going to happen? Or is this the evil trying to say, y'all don't need to go, y'all don't need to do something, you know, because something powerful is going to happen? So it's just trying to figure out who's shutting the door, or who's trying to shut a door or put the obstacle in your way, and when you're supposed to actually shove it, or when you're supposed to just walk away.
Yeah.
I once asked my dad, you know, and my dad should have pointed me to verse 17 in here, but he did in a way, but, you know, I once asked my dad, I said, if I don't do what God is telling me to do, am I going to go to hell? Because it was in Grant. I mean, I was, mm-hmm. I was seven, mm-hmm. I was 18, I think at the time I was still living at home, and it was just it was something minor, but I remember I told God, God, if I find this, then I know what I'm supposed to do. And I found it. I just didn't find it within that time frame. But I remembered that conversation that I had with God when I found the thing I was looking for. And I was not in a place at that time in my life that I thought that that was what I should be doing. Like, that wasn't what I wanted to do with the rest of my life. And my dad was like, no, you won't go to hell, possibly, you know, but somebody else might, because you don't do what God's telling you to do. And I'm like, all right, thanks, Dad. So, you know, and that has stayed with me. I mean, what, I'm 40. That's still, you know, it's been a long time since he said that, but I can literally remember standing in the living room going, okay. Like, that was knowledge that my dad doesn't even remember dropping on me.
Yeah.
My dad's like, I said that? Like, yeah, Daddy, you said that.
but in that moment, obviously the Spirit moved him to speak that truth. And,
you know, and you know what? And I did what I said I was supposed to do. I reached out to the person that I was supposed to reach out to. And it was one of those things, like, I thought I was supposed to move to Florida at that time. And it was, again, and it was just not in a time in my life that I wanted to. And I didn't move to Florida right then. And it wasn't, cause that wasn't God's plan, but I felt like it, in hindsight, it was a God foreshadowing, like, where you are right now is not where you're going to stay. And we ended up in Florida. I would not have met you if I hadn't, you know, have moved to Florida. So God knew what he was doing. And even though it didn't happen in the way that I was scared it was going to, and even if it had, I probably would have been better off anyway. But, you know, I mean, it was just, it's you need to do what God tells you to do. If you're going to go against what God's telling you to do, if you're going to sin, even though you know it's a sin, you know, I mean, we all do. There's things that come out of my mouth. There's things that come out of my thoughts. There's things that come out of my actions. They're sins. And I do them. Yeah. Knowingly.
Oh yeah,
like, we've talked about this before. If this was Old Testament, I would need a lot of animals, a ton, just for sacrifices.
You
I would
have
need
enough
a
on your farm right
ton
now.
I don't I would need, like, when you were talking about the Israelites moving and how many animals they had, I would probably need all of that just for me. Just for me. I'd be sacrificing every other hour at this point. You know.
Well, and that's good to,
maybe it was like one for the day.
Right. Lord, can we just have this all encompass?
Let this cover everything. But I guess that's what makes Jesus' sacrifice on the cross so awesome, is because, you know, God don't even see that. If we truly repent, you know, then it's recovered, which is fantastic. Because, you know, there's so much. I mean, anytime you don't put God first, that's a sin.
Yeah.
Agreed. Yep. Yep.
I wish, and that's, you know, one of the things I pray about you know, I don't know about y'all, but I pray for forgiveness for the same thing like a million times.
Yeah.
And I know God's up there going, what are you talking about? What is that? What are you talking about? I don't remember that. And I'm just like, okay, you know, and I find myself, God, I know you've forgiven me for this. Can you just please let me forget it? Like, let me keep the life lesson that I have learned from making this mistake. But please let me put this in a box just like you do, Lord, or put it in the pond, the sea of, what is that? I don't know. Is it called the sea of forgiveness? Like, I don't remember what it's called. Like that. He puts it in something. At least that's how I was taught. So it might not be right. But, you know, Lord, let me do that. Let me put it in my box and just have it go away so I don't think about it. But don't let me forget the lesson that I learned.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Don't let me wake up at 3 a.m. telling myself how terrible I am for something you've forgiven me for after I asked for the first time. Yeah.
It's hard, though, because Satan knows exactly those things that that he mm-hmm. wants us to keep reliving, even though God's like, child, I've forgiven you.
Yeah.
Like, yep. You don't, like, I got past that, like, the minute after you went, as soon as you repented.
Yep.
And we go back and relive and relive and relive and relive. And,
yep.
You know, that James 4:8 says, come close to God and God will come close to you. If you stay close to him, you can, and the good thing is you should keep asking for forgiveness because it helps cover the multitude of sins that we know and don't know, right?
Like, oh, yeah. Yeah.
It does. It does. Like, the repenting thing is always good, but yes. It's also him saying, just keep coming close to me. I've got you.
Mm-hmm.
No matter what we're talking about, I've got you. And it's, you know, faith is that assurance of what we, I'm horrible at quoting scripture sometimes, the assurance of what we have seen and what has left unseen or something mm-hmm. like that, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, just keep coming to me.
Yes.
Come to me. How many times does it say the word come in the Bible? Okay. Come to me. I am. Come to me. I've got you. Come to me. I've got you. Those are the words that always reassure me when I'm still holding on to something I probably shouldn't be holding on to. It.
Yeah. You know, we were talking to our kids the other night about the asking for forgiveness part, you know, because I'm like, I said, it's a good habit to get into, to doing it every night, you know, as you go to bed. Like if you're after we are awful at doing bedtime prayers. We really are, because it's like by the time the kids go to bed, we're all like, oh my gosh, we're all exhausted. Love you yeah. guys. Good night. You know, but.
He loves you too. Goodbye.
Yeah, exactly. Sweet dreams. You know, and I'm like, it's just a good habit to get into when you're laying in bed before you go to sleep. Like, Lord, you know, thank you for everything. I appreciate it all. Help me in the ways that I failed and just forgive me of the sins that I committed knowingly and unknowingly, because we all do them yeah. both.
Mm-hmm.
There's things that I've done that I didn't even realize I did, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, you get a better discernment as you get older. So I feel like I do a lot more. I do things that I know I'm like, shoot, I should not have done that. But it's, you know, it might have been unintentional in the act, but you know that it was still something that you shouldn't have done later. But, you know, it's hard.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, because the nice thing is early in our conversation, it might have been even in the first part of James we talked about in the first one,
mm-hmm.
You know, about judging others.
Yes.
Like, yeah. Who are you to, who am I to judge? Who are you to judge? Okay, no, let's just look to him and then let's move on. Like, just stop talking about, like, even though I'm guilty of it, let's start talking about other people, other yes. things, and let's give that to God and go about your business. go about what the Lord's put before you. So, but it's, again, it's that drop the mic reminder of,
mm-hmm.
focus on him, put your heart to him, put your words to him, put your tongue to him, you know, and let's go forward.
Start your day with, Lord, guide me.
Yeah.
You wake up in the morning, Lord, my mouth is yours. My actions are yours. My mind is yours. Help me out.
Yeah. Amen. Amen.
Which is so much easier to say that here than do it when I wake up in the morning.
To put it in words.
Amen.
Yeah.
Amen, sister.
Like, why is it so appealing that when you're going down your rabbit hole of a, you know, depression more or less. Like, if you're in a bad mood, why is it so much easier to stay in that? And then, you know, listen, then trying to get yourself out of it. Sometimes I find myself more often than not, if I'm in a state, I'm just going to wallow in it until I get out of it, until the Lord literally has to take me out by nothing that I'm doing. But God's like, you're done. You're done. We're taking this out.
Exactly. That's when I want to sit up and watch a sad movie and just leave me alone.
Yes. I'm just going to lay in bed and I'm going to wallow in my own self-pity. Why is that so much easier than putting on some worship music and trying to switch my focus?
And sometimes, doesn't it depend on the what you're trying to switch off to? Because sometimes, like I said, with the car, I was able to pretty quickly just go, okay, I can't do anything about it. Let's go. So I'm saying, like, and then there's sometimes, like you said, then I can also just get so caught up in my junk that I spend the day watching Hallmark movies and tears and cookie dough and, you know, and, or whatever. Like, I'm just saying, like, and so I think sometimes it depends on what's hitting you, where you're at in a week, a day, a month, you know, time of year. Like, we come into February and I have a love-hate relationship with February. So it's real easy because it's the month I lost my dad, you know, 8 years ago, which is crazy. So, but it's also the month I got engaged to Brian. So, like, I have a love-hate relationship. So there's some days in February I'm like, oh, remember, this is what we were going to do. And this is the day we got engaged. And then, oh gosh, remember, this is the day my dad was so sick that he couldn't function, you know? So I just think sometimes that, but the more you experience things, the more you can keep working towards getting out of that funk.
Yeah.
Because of who God is in your life. And it doesn't mean that you don't believe in God and love God, even when you are in the midst of the crappy day, week, month, year, whatever. It just means that you are stuck in a rut and you're keep praying. It's that perseverance thing that we talked about at the beginning. We have to keep trying.
Yeah.
Have to keep trying. Because he's going to continually be there with you and show you things.
Yep.
Even when you least expect it. So. Yeah.
And I think
keep going.
Yeah.
Also good to have like an arsenal of verses that's there for you to go back towards. And then that goes back towards just training your mind instead of, hey, this is a horrible day, I'm going to tell you all about my horrible day, to, you know, switching the gears.
And it's also being surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses. So like a night like tonight where I've had a day where I'm like, I've got to do this and I got to get this and I have so many things going on. And then I get to sit here with you ladies tonight talking about Jesus and God and his plan and all the things, makes me go, okay, I can get through anything, Lord. Because I've got great, great people around me to keep me rooted in his grace, in his mercy, in his word, in all the things that he gives to me daily. So I agree with that wholeheartedly. It's surrounding yourself with all the tools that he gives us. And yes, it is easier to speak it some days than others. But doing that and keeping to speak that out loud will help you on the days when it's not easy to speak it.
I'm just going to start using our group chat every time I get down there. Like, y'all need to speak this,
let's go,
these over me, because I'm about to just sit in my room in my pajamas and binge shows I probably shouldn't be binging, you know?
Let's do it, ladies. Let's encourage each other. I mean, that's what God's given us.
You know, and it's always, it is. It's about your inner circle. We talked about that because we're going through Acts at church, you know. Your inner circle, who Paul surrounded himself with, matters. Yep. It matters because you need those people that are going to encourage you on the days that you're just like, you know.
Yeah.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like, you know, you need that. You need somebody who has your back. But I mean, it's not saying that you can't talk to everybody from in everybody walk of life, but you still need to surround yourself with the people who will keep you on the path that you need to be on.
Amen. Amen.
Allow you to vent, give you your moments, but bring it back. Like, do you feel better now? So let's give you some truth and then let's move on.
Yep.
You know?
Totally. Yep.
Again, easier said than done.
Amen.
Easier said than done.
But we keep trying and we keep going.
It's always.
We do it together.
Yep. Always. Yeah, I was telling Steve the other, actually, I was telling him today, I said, I'm becoming my grandma. I have to write everything down. I have a planner in my purse, a planner. I have a calendar on her. On our fridge. I have to write everything down or it's going to go out of my head. And I said, I'm becoming my grandma. And he goes, well, she had an amazing walk with Jesus. And I'm like, well, I'm striving for that too, but I am not there. You know? But she did. She knew Jesus. Like she would talk to him like we're talking right now. Mm-hmm. Just, yeah. Just talk to him.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a good thing to strive for.
Oh, it is. Yeah. Absolutely. And even still, though, even now, like, but she even had her bad days. Like, I didn't realize my grandmother wrote poetry, and there was things we found after she passed, and my grandma had feelings, you know, like, and they weren't, you know, and it's, but I'm like, it's good. She got it out. You know, yeah. She was able to work that out.
Yeah. Yeah. I've loved how my relationship with my mom has changed so much over the years. I mean, we've always been very close, but mm-hmm. it's been really neat on these journeys of faith together and how much I want to be like my mom.
Yeah.
In the aspect of she's this prayer warrior. She's the one who can go, oh yeah, that's Philippians 2.
Yes.
And here's all the words. And I'm like, how do you do that? And I know I will not be that ever, but it's good for me to have a goal where I go, I hope to just one day do a little bit of that and a little bit of this and a little bit of that. Because of what a great warrior she's shown me how to be in the faith. So that's the blessing of, like you said, being surrounded by great people and having a circle that keeps us going. So.
Exactly. And I am rubbish at trying to memorize scripture. I really am. I can tell you what's in there. I know what's in there. I can't tell you where. I might not even be able to even tell you the book that it's in, but I know what it says it in here somewhere.
The good news is there's this search function on my Bible app and even in the concordance at the back of my Bible.
Yeah. I'll find it. It might take me a minute. So be patient.
There we go.
But I can set my sources.
Yeah.
All right. So chapter 5 says, come now, you rich people, weep and wail over the miseries that are coming on you. Your wealth has rotted and your clothes are moth-eaten. Your gold and silver are corroded and their corrosion will be a witness against you and will eat your flesh like fire. You have stored up treasure in the last days. Look, the pay that you have withheld from the workers who mowed your fields cry out, and the outcry of the harvesters have reached the ears of the Lord of the hosts. You have lived luxuriously on the earth and have indulged yourselves. You have fattened your hearts in a day of slaughter. You have condemned and you have murdered the righteous who does not resist you. Therefore, brothers and sisters, be patient until the Lord's coming. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth and is patient with it until it receives the earthly and the late rains. You must also be patient. Strengthen your hearts because the Lord's coming is near. Brothers and sisters, do not complain about one another so that you will not be judged. Look, the judge stands at the door. Brothers and sisters, take the prophets who spoke in the Lord's names as an example of suffering and patience. See, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the outcome that the Lord brought about. The Lord is compassionate and merciful. Above all, my brothers and sisters, do not swear either by heaven or by earth or with any other oath, but let your yeses mean yes and your noes mean no, so that you won't fall under judgment. Is anyone among you suffering? He should pray. Is anyone cheerful? He should sing praises. Is any among you sick? He should call for the elders of the church, and they are to pray over him, anointing him with the oil in the name of the Lord. The prayer of faith will save the sick person, and the Lord will raise him up. If he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another so that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person is a very powerful and it's effective. And it is effective. Elijah was a human being as we are, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain. And for 3 years and 6 months, it did not rain on the land. And then he prayed again, and the skies gave rain, and the land produced its fruit. My brothers and sisters, if any among you strays from the truth and someone turns him back, let that person know that whoever turns a sinner from the error of his ways will save his soul from death and cover a multitude of sins. He just ends each of these chapters with like a powerful sentence.
Mm-hmm. Yes. He does.
You know, it's that, you know, if somebody turns away, it's guiding them back. I love that. It's like, don't, you know, just try to guide them back, you know, bring them back. You're saving them.
Well, cause aren't we even wanderers sometimes?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, I think that's why I like that word wanderer, at least, mm-hmm. you know, and I know it's probably different translations, but that, cause there's times when we can be right on track and then something sends us off and we're wandering, but he's still either through someone he sends or through a connection or a song or a scripture or an event, we come back because we know where the truth is and we know where the heart is and we know where the forgiveness is and the grace and the mercy is. So, mm-hmm. And I like that, be patient as you wait for the Lord's return.
Yes.
Patience thing again? Come on. It's... Trying to prove a point? Okay, got it.
I know. Yeah. It's one of those, you know, you don't ever pray for patience because he'll give you opportunities to use it.
All too often.
Yep. So I've stopped praying for patience. I just am like, okay, help me through this because I don't have patience.
Not my virtue at all, that's for sure.
Nope. And I still struggle, and this is real. This is real life. I struggle because of my upbringing in the Pentecostal church. I struggle with wanting the Lord to come. Because in the Pentecostal church, they put the fear of the tribulations in you of revelations is like it's not a joyful.
Yeah.
It's mm-hmm. not, you know, Revelations, you know, is supposed to be hope. It's supposed to show you a little more hope. But the way I was brought up, it was not hopeful. It was, if you don't do this, you're going to go through these 7 years and likely be treated as the Jews were treated during World War II. And, my whole life, also you can think about it, it's like your kids getting ripped from you and like you're separated from them and, you know, in your family and living in the kind of camps like Corrie Ten Boom and her sister did. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, Lord, if that's what your coming's going to look like, I'm good. I am all set. I might read books that talk about this kind of stuff. I don't want to live it.
Yeah.
You know,
let me die peacefully in my sleep.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you have, come afterwards.
Do you know how often I have prayed that? Lord, just take me first. Just take me first. I don't want to have to. I don't know where to land. If it, you know, everybody talks about pre-trib, post-trib, mid-trib. You know, and this is totally off topic. I'm just being real. I'm going to be patient. The Lord's coming. I'm like, I am patient in that. Like, I'm good. I'll wait forever, Lord.
Yeah.
Because if that's what it means and it's like you go mid-trib or we have to go through it because it's post or if we, you know, it's like, because everybody who has an opinion, I could see their point. They can cite it, you know, and I'm like, if everybody can cite it, I know nobody knows. And that's fine. But it's just that Pentecostal fire and brimstone screwed me when it comes to this.
Well, because it I have some other friends that are Pentecostal as well, or were Pentecostal, I should say. I don't really have any friends that are Pentecostal currently. But for some reason, and I don't think Pentecostals are the only ones, that fear is supposed to drive you to doing mm-hmm. the right thing. And I think there's lots of recorded history that says the fear of doing the right thing, or at least what you interpret as the right thing, is never the answer. And so I have fears that if I'm not doing my job right, or I'm not helping that person I see at church who is struggling, or, you know, like we talked about before with the, if I'm not doing the right thing, helping that homeless person that was sleeping under our bell tower on Sunday, or this, mm-hmm. you know, like things like that. Like, am I doing what the Lord's called me to do? Am I doing it right? I don't fear that I know I'm going to heaven. Like, that's not the fear, but I want to be the best servant I can be. Right.
Yeah.
And so, I think that's the kind of fear, you know, fear the Lord. How many times did it say fear the Lord in here? That's yeah. the fear he wants. He wants us to fear so that we get other people to know him, not fear the end of life and end of world and fear that we get to go to be to heaven in him. That's not there's two degrees of fear, just like anger is misinterpreted in the Bible. Is,
yes.
You know, God going, like, he's angry because he loves us so much that he doesn't want us to live in the junk and the muck and the mire. Mm-hmm. And that's what he gets angry about. So.
Yeah. It's got to have the right placed fear. And I, you know, yeah. and I learned that. I do. And I'm getting better. I don't automatically want to throw up when Steve talks about revelations. I don't automatically just say, no, thanks. They did do a podcast on it and I still won't listen to it. But I've listened to others talk about it, you know, and I know eventually I'll need to do a study, but I need to find the right study. Like, I don't want to do somebody's study that is fire and brimstone, because there is a place where you need to have the fear of God. You need to understand the severity of your actions, the severity of Amen. Not choosing God,
yeah,
of not Amen. Choosing his way, his direction. There is, you need to fear his almightiness, because he is, you know, he is. Everything.
Agreed. Yeah.
You know, but it's got to be a healthy fear.
Yeah.
You know, it can't be one where you're just, you know, you always got to look at the prodigal son. You know, he was able, he came back and mm-hmm. welcomed with open arms. That is our God. You know, it's, but you're fearing Amen. Him because you respect, fear is respect. You know, it's, yes. that, it's
That's
not.
That's a great way to put it. Thank you for saying that.
Mm-hmm.
It's a great way to put it. Yeah.
So,
and I think we also got to keep the mindset of what comes after the tribulation
mm-hmm.
when Jesus does come back and he has the ultimate victory, you know, and then he walks on earth with us
mm-hmm.
and then, you know, the new earth and the new heavens.
Yeah.
So. Yeah.
So going back to James 1, right? Be joyful in the trials.
Yeah.
Count it as joy.
And, you know,
seeking joy constantly. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's this example of suffering and patience. Like the prophets who spoke the name of the Lord, you know, most all the prophets went through suffering.
Mm-hmm.
And, but you, I also think back to, you know, the early church and how many were killed in the name of the Lord. And they knew they were going to be killed, you
yeah.
know?
Yeah.
They knew that that was a strong possibility. You know, all the apostles, you know? Yeah.
But John, all but John.
All but John, yeah. And James and, you know, yeah. Stephen. And it was just, so there is trials and there is, but that's why it continuously tells us to endure, to be steadfast.
To stay the course.
Yeah.
You know, I was just talking about this with somebody else. You know, being a Christian doesn't mean that you're exempt from the trials. It doesn't mean, you know, when God calls you, he's not calling you to a peaceful life in Eden, you know, yeah. he's calling you to live for him. And that is sometimes not easy. You know, he called Mary, an unwed woman, to bear Jesus. You know, he called her, and you know, in that time frame, she wasn't you know, she wasn't, there are words for, they called her, you know, they called her names. They know that there was things about her, you know, and it, you know, he called Rahab, right? He called, you know, he calls all of these women and men, and they have to go through, he called Job, right? Yeah. And Job went through a lot, you know, and just like James says, you know, you have, it's, he's with you during that. He's called you to do it, and it's just staying on the course that he put you on.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. As I, so I have a, what do you call it? A coloring Bible kind of thing, like a narrative, like I can color stuff in. And the next page is obviously First Peter.
Yep.
And the scripture that I could color in and make all pretty and stuff like that is 1 Peter 1:7. It says, when your faith remains strong through many trials, it will bring you much praise and glory and honor on the day when Jesus Christ is revealed.
Yeah. Boom.
Go, James. You got Peter in on it, too. Okay. Yep.
I love Peter.
Like, it's exactly what you guys just, both of you just said. Go. Yay, God. I just like how it comes together. Like, obviously, you know, even though James maybe was the first book written of the New Testament era, the placement of it and how, however that all happened, and some of that's still a mystery, even though I've read up on it, I'm like, I don't need to know all of it. Thank you, Lord, for the order you put it in.
Yep.
Exactly.
You inspired it.
Yeah.
You inspired it to be in. So, yay, God. I don't need to think about it. Right. Because that's why he, that's why he does it. Because moments like this, whether that, I mean, that's just a moment that the Lord designs. It's, there's no other way to say that.
Absolutely.
I mean, again, this is probably one of those that we could go back and then the next time we read through it, we would find a different thing to focus on. Mm-hmm. Because there's so many little things and nuggets and moments. And this is just where we're at today. And I think that's the beauty of it. So that maybe the person who's listening to this might go, wait, didn't they talk about this verse? Because that's where I'm at.
Yep.
Okay, send it to us. We'll talk about it.
Yeah.
Kind of thing, because it could be different the next time we talk about it. I think that's the beauty of scripture and the beauty of what we're doing. So,
and I should also say, not all Pentecostals feel like that. I'm sure. I don't want to like have people be like, "Oh, that woman." That was my experience growing up. I know people that still even go to that church now that didn't have that same experience that I did.
Yeah.
You know, and it is. It's just all about how it felt to me. And it is. It's my perception on that, I guess. Or maybe God was like, this isn't the place for you. You know, and that's fine. And we ended up moving churches a little bit later anyway. But, you know, it's, I don't want people to be like, you just totally knocked my denomination. We're not listening to you anymore.
No, I think, but I do think, I mean, like I could say that, I mean, I love being Lutheran, right? Obviously, I've been it my whole life. I appreciate and really feel like the theology that we work through and struggle through, quite honestly, is God breathed and we truly try to pull it from Scripture, but we still fall short. I think every denomination and every Christian, even non-denoms, all fall short in some way because there's these things called humans involved.
Yeah, exactly.
And we interpret what we want to interpret. And we do.
Yeah.
And that's reality. So your perception of Pentecostals versus my perception of Pentecostals or my perception of Catholics. My mom grew up Catholic. My dad grew up Methodist. We became Lutheran. How does that work?
Okay, right, like, yeah. You know, yeah. Yep.
I'm glad the Lord put me in a church body that and at churches that have loved and helped me grow. Okay.
Exactly.
Let's go.
You learn the good and the bad.
True.
At every church. You see, you learn something, whether that's helps you strengthen your faith or helps you realize where you're, you know, where they might be lacking or where you're lacking. You know, there's goods and bads to every church.
Amen.
Every denomination. Amen. All right. Well, I think that's going to be it for James. And so we're glad you guys stuck with us during all of the twists and turns that we've taken through James. And again, as we always say, this is just us talking about these. And this is just what has inspired us and what God's kind of pointed out to us in these books. But we read the scripture because we want you guys to know what we're reading. And if you're not sitting at a table, if you're walking, if you're in the car or whatever, we want you guys to be able to know what we're talking about. So you can hear it first and then we talk about it. So you know this is what, that we're legitimately in the Bible. We're legitimately looking at these things. But then again, like Leslie said, we're going to miss verses that mean something to you. We're going to miss verses that mean something to us, you know, that we just didn't get to touch on, you know. And the next time I go through James, there's going to be different highlighting colors, and because there's things that are going to matter that still that matter now, but are going to say it differently the next time you read it. So I know we'll come back to James, just like we'll come back to Titus. We'll come back to Jude. We'll come back to Daniel, you know, and we'll do it. We'll come back and we'll look at it all differently and have a whole brand new show on them, you know, years from now or months from now or whatever.
Yeah.
You know, but. But I think this is, I think we're doing what we're supposed to be doing. We're bringing what we feel like we're supposed to be bringing out.
Amen.
But we just always encourage, like with every book, you guys just get into it. Look at it. See what you find out. Post about it. I mean, we're on the Facebook. We have the group going. Post about it. If you find something that spoke to you about this, let's talk. Kind of, it just helps. It brings us all, we all learn. We all, gets us all digging into the word. And that's exactly what we're supposed to be doing.
Amen.
Exactly.
See everybody next time.